only and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host once again. This is the week of August 17th, 2014. Our guest today is going to be Wayne Allen Root. We're having him back. He's got a new book out called Murder of the Middle Class, and I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda. Linda.
Good morning.
And Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Linda.
Morning.
Good morning.
We're streaming worldwide. This is KCNR 1460. You can go to KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567 anytime during the show if you have a comment or a question. Again, that's 530-605-4567. All shows are podcast and archived as well, and you can friend me on Facebook. I think I got like 20 slots left. And then we'll start doing it on Sovereign Minds on Facebook. And that, again, that's Mark E. Kent. And you can also go to the ShastaLantern.com, www.ShastaLantern.com, where we have a newspaper that we're putting out there to actually report news that the mainstream
has
local
real journalism in it.
Yeah, that actually has some news in it besides the fluffy, stuffy, wretched fleshlight patented crapple that never has anything of value. I probably should be a little more fair than that, but I'm not going to be. Because they
why should you start now?
They don't deserve it, quite frankly. first quote is, "The essence of optimism is that it takes no account of the present. It is but a source of inspiration, but it is a source of inspiration, of vitality and hope where others have resigned. It enables a man to hold his head high, to claim the future for himself, and not to abandon it to his enemy." That's Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
All right. Well, there you have it.
There you have it. So do you have any
I do have a couple announcements real quick. I want to let people know that Doug LaMalfa is doing a community meeting on Monday, August 18th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Reading Library Community Room. Again, that is at the Reading Library Community Room. Also coming up, we have a oh, bless you.
I think that was Wayne.
Yeah. On October 5th, we have something coming up at the Wind River Casino. It's for the Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. It is a tribute to Jimi Hendrix. The tickets are on sale at Tobacco and Brew in the Classic Cafe. If you want more information, I was looking for a phone number, but I don't have it. Go by Tobacco and Brew or Classic Cafe. Again, that's a tribute to Jimi Hendrix on October 5th at Wind River at 4 p.m.
I think we're having Linda Gutierrez at the Tea Party meeting Monday, and she will be speaking to the group.
And she's running for state superintendent, I believe
I believe so. And that'll be at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneview. Destiny Fellowship. So that's the Tea Party meeting again on Monday on Monday at 6 p.m. Okay, so with that, have we got anything else before we get to our guest?
Well, real quick about the Reading Tea Party. Remember that it's election season, so we'll be having our famous debates and Q&A for the candidates for city council coming up.
All right, very good. With that, let's get to our guest. Yeah. He's recently I guess this book is published at this point, The Murder of the Middle Class. We've had him on the program before, and we really love to have him come on because he's such a well-rounded speaker. And
he has lots of information to give us that
cut from the same cloth. Are you there, Wayne?
I'm here. You heard me sneezing a moment ago. That's how you knew I was here, right?
Yes.
I didn't know I was on the air when I was sneezing.
Gesundheit.
You know, you asked if my book is out. My book is one of the 5 best-selling books in America.
Oh, really?
My book is only being beat at this point by Dr. Ben Carson, who's outsold Hillary Clinton, and Ed Klein with Blood Feud about the Clintons and the Obamas and how much they hate each other. And what's the other big one? Dinesh D'Souza with his movie America and his book America, which at this point is on its way to being the best-selling book in the United States by far this year.
Wow.
He'll be passing everyone else, including Ben Carson, probably in the next month or so. So the 3 biggest-selling books in America are about the only thing ahead of me with the murder of the middle class. And
wow.
Probably one of the reasons is Rush Limbaugh endorsed my book last week, which he never does.
Well,
live
that,
on the air. I was greatly honored.
Nice. Congratulations, Wayne. That's awesome. I haven't looked at the bestsellers here lately, obviously. How long has the book been out?
It's been out about a month. Actually, tomorrow will be my official one-month anniversary. And Dinesh D'Souza was kind enough to give me a great endorsement to his 350,000 Facebook fans a couple days ago, and Rush Limbaugh's endorsement and Ben Carson's endorsement. All the guys ahead of me have endorsed my book.
Nice.
So I feel
that's
like
sweet.
I'm getting a big boost here from some really wonderful conservatives in the movement.
Well, that's nice. It's good to see that. I think the ship is turning here and pivoting and heading back in the right direction. The media just does not give anything that plays against their agenda, you know, any kind of credence, and that's part of the problem. I mean, that's why we've got so many alternative sources going now, and it's starting to work. But maybe you can kind of tell us a little bit about what your book's about before we get to the break. We got a couple, 3 minutes, and then we'll come back and get a little more in depth with it.
Well, obviously, it's about the murder of the middle class and what's happening on a daily basis to every one of us who doesn't make millions of dollars a year. I mean, if you make, you know, the government thinks you're rich if you make, you know, $250,000 a year. Well, I got news for you. Electricity bills are at all-time highs. Grocery bills are at all-time highs. Your health insurance is doubling or tripling because of Obamacare. The gas you put in your car has doubled. Everyone's incomes are down. If you own a business, you have a hard time making payroll, let alone paying health insurance. IRS audits are at an all-time high. When you add it all together, it's a toxic brew. It's a poison disaster that is adding up to, you know, really bankruptcy for the typical American. I don't care what you make. Our incomes are down and our assets are down and our businesses are down. Well, every bill in the world is up. And they're not up by mistake. They're up because Barack Obama purposely has put policies in place to make sure they go up. So as an example, green energy, he knows it. He said it before. Electricity rates will skyrocket if my plan goes into place, Obama said 20 years ago. And that's why your rates are up. That's why your gas is up. He won't allow drilling. He's making coal extinct. He's trying to stop fracking. He's trying to block all offshore drilling. So when you add it up, there's a reason why your bills are up. Your groceries are up because Obama says if you can't drill, then the trucks bringing the groceries to the store have to pay higher gas prices, and the store has to pay higher electric prices. And Obama said your health insurance prices would go down, and they're up 88% just in the state of California, where everyone loves Obama and doesn't even know how to make the connection between Obama's policies and what's happening. So that's all the murder of the middle class. If you make $50,000 a year, good luck. You might as well be extinct. If you make $250,000 a year, you're broke at the end of the month. But if you make millions and you donate hundreds of thousands to Obama, he makes sure you're well taken care of. This is going to create a two-class society, the super rich and everyone else is poor and dependent on government. And that's the MO for every communist society. Therefore, you have a communist in the White House, and that's exactly what he's doing in America. That's why I wrote The Murder of the Middle Class.
Well, not to mention the fact that they're counterfeiting $85 billion a month.
By the way, that's part of the plan to make the super rich richer.
Sure.
The bankers are making millions, if not billions. Warren Buffett last year made $12.7 billion with a B, and the average middle class person got the shaft because, ironically, we owe the bill for his wealth. In other words, you make him $12 billion richer by spending by printing $1 trillion fake dollars at the Fed, and who owes the trillion back because it becomes debt? The middle class, our kids, and our unborn grandkids. This is a tragedy of epic proportions.
It's kind of like Austin Powers, you know, where he says, "Yeah, we're gonna steal millions," and then they go, "Dad, you know, Dad, the millions are we're gonna steal billions." Now we're getting to the point where it's going to be trillions here, the way we're headed.
Exactly, and no one gets it. It's all Sololinsky. Sololinsky, the Rules for Radicals, Obama's mentor. He's the one that taught Obama, hide your intentions, the ends justify the means. Say whatever you have to, lie, deflect and distract, and that's what Obama does. All he ever does in every speech is tell you he's the hero, he's come to save the middle class. But folks, that's the Sololinsky lie. He's come to destroy the middle class and fundamentally change America, capitalism, and your life. He's come to take it all away.
Well, we're going to go to a break with that, and when we come back, we'll pull the gloves off. And
Let's dive deeper into this book and find out really how you feel there. So if you want to call in and have a question or comment for our guests, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business. This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Their unmistakable music, their unforgettable hits. Foreigner is back. Thursday, September 4th at Wind River Resort and Casino, located in Redding. Here comes Foreigner. It'll be a night of smoking Foreigner hits. The band that changed the rock and roll landscape forever. Foreigner. Tickets available at the River Club, 1-800-280-UWIN, and online at winriver.com. Don't miss Foreigner Live. Thursday, September 4th at Wind River Resort and Casino, located in Redding. Jukebox Heroes, the greatest hits of Foreigner. Available now. It's better on the river.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Redding has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Hey everybody, gather around. I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can. The sunrise.
Who can tax the
trees?
Who can tax the trees?
Let you run a business and collect up all the fees. The government.
The government.
Oh,
institution. And who can give a bailout?
Who can give a bailout?
Tell us to behave.
Tell us to behave.
And make the founding fathers roll over in their grave. The government.
They're the candy man. Yep. Boy, that's a nice lead into our guest, Wayne Allen Root.
Yeah, if it wasn't so true, you know.
It'd almost be funny, wouldn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. You know, we've got our guest here is Wayne Allen Root, and he is the author of The Murder of the Middle Class. Kind of segues in from that song pretty well. What do you think, Wayne?
It does. I've always said that the government is so incompetent that they can't even run a whorehouse. And that's exactly what – that's a true story from my home state of Nevada. I live in Las Vegas, moved here from your state of California 13 years ago. And Nevada is the only state out of 50 that has legal prostitution in rural counties in this state, not in Las Vegas, but in rural counties. And obviously no house of prostitution has ever fared poorly, right? I mean, you can't lose money selling sex. We all know that. It's the oldest profession. And yet, the most successful brothel in the history of Nevada was called the Mustang Ranch. And the Mustang Ranch was a $100 million business. And they got the owner on tax evasion. He fled the country to Brazil with his money, and the U.S. government, as greedy as they are, took over the brothel. And in 1 year, it declared bankruptcy. In 1 year. And so, you know, I always tell audiences all over the world, not just the United States, because I speak everywhere in the world, and everyone gets this story. I tell them all that if you can't run a whorehouse and make a profit, get your damn hands off my health care. And I get standing ovations in every country in the world for that line. So people get it, you know, and if you still don't get it, listen to my energy, okay? I move at 100 miles an hour, 16 hours a day. I'm a self-made millionaire. I'm what America needs to run the country and an economy. And now compare my energy to an employee of the Department of Motor Vehicles. And everybody all over the world laughs over that line. I used to think, if I tell that line in America, everyone will laugh. And they do. But I thought, if I tell it in, like, Amsterdam or Russia or China or South Africa, will anybody get it? So I've tried it out in every one of those places because I give speeches all over the world about business. And do you know I get massive laughter everywhere in the world when I ask people to compare my energy to a government employee. I don't say Department of Motor Vehicles when I'm in South Africa. Who knows what they've got down there? But I say to a government employee. And they all laugh so loud. They all get it. Because government employees are people that couldn't make it in the private sector. They don't know how to move fast, talk fast, act fast, how to take action to save an economy. And they wouldn't last a week if they got a job in the private sector. And you're asking them to tell us what to do and to make regulations to run our life. And that's why the economy's so bad. It's a combination of incompetent government employees, communists purposely trying to destroy America, and lawyers who can never admit they're wrong about anything. They're taught in law school to never admit they're wrong and always act like they're confident, even if they don't have a clue what's going on. And most politicians are lawyers. There are the problems of our society right there in a nutshell.
Well, listen, I might disagree with you on one thing. Is D.C. a state? Because I thought prostitution was legalized in D.C.
Yeah, I know. I often say that, in D.C. they call their prostitutes by a different name, senator. And they're really talented. They're so talented they could screw you sitting down from 3,000 miles away. So I understand your line exactly, believe me.
Very good.
And so there we have another take on it.
Yeah.
And let me give you, it's funny because your show is in California, right?
Yes.
That's correct.
And so I'll give you another take on California. You know, it's so funny. Only politicians can do this. Can you imagine me as a businessman? I'm going broke. I'm losing everything I've got. And the products I sell in my store sell for a dollar. I'm going broke. And one day, the government gives me the right to rip off my customers and tell them, from now on, even though my product's worth a dollar and not enough of you are buying it, so to keep from going bankrupt, I'm going to charge you $50. But because I have the power of government behind me, they give me the right to put a gun to your head and make you buy it, whether you like it or not, for $50, even though it's worth $1. And then I would have the nerve to stand up in front of a press conference and announce, hey, I'm not broke anymore. I turn things around. I'm a genius businessman. That's what government does every day. And
isn't
in California,
that health,
Jerry Brown, your state is drowning in debt and drowning and bankrupt. He raises taxes, so he rips off rich people, and then he walks around like he's a hero saying, everything's okay, I eliminated the budget deficit. No, you didn't. You ripped off successful people. You stole their money to make it look like temporarily there is no budget deficit. But when all of them move to Nevada, where I live, and they're all doing it, every friend I've got in California is making plans to move to Nevada, everyone's getting out who makes any kind of money, then you're going to be back to even in worse shape than you were before. Jerry Brown's no hero. He's a stick-up man. He just saw rich people, and he stole their money to eliminate the deficit. That isn't smart. That isn't doing things right. That isn't creating a successful state. That's setting your state up for disastrous failure in the very near future. 10 years from now, California will be far more broke than it ever was before Jerry Brown became governor.
Isn't that the Saul Alinsky business plan? Or I thought you were describing Obamacare there at first. I mean,
yeah, the Obama crime family, exactly. You know, don't forget that not only do they stick you up at gunpoint and then sick the IRS on you, but let's not forget when someone finally tells the truth, like Standard & Poor's, and who was the other one? I can't remember the other name.
Moody's. I think it's Moody's, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, Standard & Poor's, Moody's, Jones Egan, they're all raiders of bonds and debt. And two of them raided the United States for the first time in history, downgraded the credit of the United States of America.
Right.
So what was the result of that? They were both indicted by the Obama administration. Now, you know, nobody understands these things. No one knows what's going on. I'm not telling jokes. This isn't Saturday Night Live. This really happened. No sooner they downgraded the debt of America, the government came up with phony reasons to indict both companies, and both of them were fined hundreds of millions of dollars. One of them was actually told in settlement, you just can't rate America for the next 18 months till Obama's gone.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
basically they said for the next 2 years, you can't rate us anymore.
It sounds like the border.
You can't tell the truth anymore in America.
It sounds like the border. I mean, didn't Perry just get indicted?
Right.
You know, and I guess it had nothing to do with the fact that he was disagreeing and starting to protect the Texas border from the illegal aliens. I guess so then you get indicted.
Well, don't forget, Dinesh D'Souza is facing jail time now for a minor nothing that no one could have found out about unless they're listening to his phone calls and watching his emails, selective prosecution and snooping. Don't forget that, what is it, McConnell, the governor of Virginia, is facing jail time. He's on trial as we speak right now. Last I checked, he didn't take a bribe from a guy doing business with the state. He took a loan with a 5% interest rate with a guy doing business with the state. It may be unseemly. You may not like it. But I don't think taking a loan where you got to pay back the money with interest is a criminal act. And this is what they're throwing people in jail for, only if you're a Republican and you oppose the president. Now let's skip to me, guys. Wayne Root, the author of The Murder of the Middle Class. No one is in the media attacking Obama more than me. No one fights back harder than me. I fight the same way they do, viciously. This is not badminton with Muffy at the country club. Republicans better wake up. Don't bring a knife to a gunfight. I bring a bazooka, and I fight Obama harder than anyone in the country, and I'm in the media more than anyone in the country. And don't think Obama and his people and his henchmen and his socialist cabal don't know it because they sicked the IRS on me 3 years ago. Never had a problem in my life with the IRS, and suddenly I was attacked with such vicious force, so overwhelming. My accountant said, I can't handle it. You got to go out and hire the best law firm in the country, Wayne. They're looking to destroy your life. I did. We beat them in tax court. 5 days later, new IRS audit. My law firm said they checked around, and they don't believe in the history of America anyone's ever been audited 5 days after winning in tax court. They said, you are, without any doubt, on the president's enemies list. I beat them a second time. Who knows what else is coming? These are the thugs in the White House.
Yeah, they're following Nixon's business plan. destroy your enemies. I mean,
well, Nixon, Saul Alinsky, Cloward Piven, they're all the same. And don't forget, the reason Obama's so upset at me personally is that I was Obama's college classmate at Columbia University, and I say it in all my media interviews, and they always ask me about Obama, and I always tell them everyone at Columbia in those days called themselves a communist. I was the only conservative out of 700 students, class of 83, Columbia University, the only public, outspoken, in-your-face conservative for sure. Some may have been hiding, you know, behind their desks, not admitting it. And pretty much everyone else called themselves a communist, and we all studied Cloward Piven, and we were all told that the way to upset, to destroy capitalism and change America, fundamentally change America, is to overwhelm the system with spending and entitlements and debt. And guess what Barack Obama's doing? The exact game plan we happen to learn at Columbia, number one debt creator in world history, number one spender in world history, number one giver of entitlements in world history. Do you actually believe that's a coincidence? So I talk about this in every interview around the country. I'm embarrassing the president. I'm humiliating the president. You know I got his goat. And you know that Valerie Jarrett probably made a call to the IRS and said, go after Wayne Root. And so the upshoot of all this, by the way, so I beat him twice. Suddenly Judicial Watch contacted me, the number one government watchdog in the country. They said, this case is rancid. You've been attacked by the president. There's no question. Would you allow us to take your case? We're going to ask the IRS, demand the IRS turns over all files. We'll see the fingerprints of the president on this, and we'll really run with this. And I said, great, let's do it. And they did. So by law, the IRS had 30 days to respond. That was last August 3rd. No, not this August 3rd that just ended. A year ago, 2013, August 3rd, in a year and a month, they've refused to turn over the papers that by law, my IRS files, that by law they've got to turn over.
Did you see what – we got to go to a break here pretty quick, but did you see the what the judge did this week with Tom Fitton and Judicial Watch as far as – I guess he's slamming them back and asking for a bunch of explanations, and evidently the ball's still moving forward on this, and they're trying to hide it all. But maybe we can talk about that after the break here. And
okay, let's go to a break. If you want to call in, again, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I'll go find a network won't treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. We're gonna take back our country.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew, guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas-Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Don't know much about agencies, only what is on TV. Don't know what the DOJ might do, unless by chance I see it on The View. But the FBI plus IRS in my White House have become BS, 'cause the underlings don't speak to me. Don't know much, but please bear in mind that it's best to lead from behind. Don't know much about Libya. On Benghazi questions, just say duh. And if Eric Holder starts to look like he's using Nixon's old playbook, that's a blunder that is news to me. I am not in the loop. Now you all know the right wing keeps pressing, so now I must admit, at least it has stopped them from obsessing lately about my birth certificate. Don't know much if you're curious.
Yeah, you got to have a little fun with this, the birth certificate thing that never seems to go away. What were we going here, you know, before we got all sidetracked during the break here? Are we there? Are you there, Wayne?
Wayne?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, what were we going to go back into here? I got to laughing at the music, and I forgot what we were doing.
Well, listen, you know, I just want to give you some idea of the murder of the middle class. You know, in my case, Wayne Allyn Root, I'm the author of The Murder of the Middle Class, and the greatest example of the murder happened to me. 3 weeks ago, I got a letter in the mail. Actually, now it's 4 weeks. Tomorrow's the anniversary, 1 month of my book coming out. And as I was opening the mail to leave on book tour for New York, I opened the mail, and there's a letter from my health insurance carrier, Aetna. And it says, you've been canceled.
Oh, nice.
As of December 31st, you've lost your health insurance. Not because of anything I did. The letter even says, because of the mandates of Obamacare, we can't afford to insure you anymore.
Well, I remember what we were going to talk about was Tom Fitton and that IRS thing. Did you see that the judge ordered that the IRS come forth with explanations on why all this stuff is missing in the civil side
yes.
of things?
Yeah, I did. And I hope I'm the next guy to have the same situation. It may take 6 months or a year, but you'll be hearing about me in the news in the same context. I'm telling you that in my case, because I was Obama's college classmate, and I keep reporting in the news media that A, everyone was a bunch of communists, B, that I heard the exact plan that's being carried out now, Cloward and Piven, overwhelmed the system with spending, entitlements, and debt, and it's happening now, and lastly, that I never saw the guy, which is also weird, that I went to Columbia for 4 years and knew every single person in the political science department, and they all knew me. Never heard of Obama, never saw Obama, never met Obama, don't know another student who's ever heard of Obama or met Obama. I even went out of my way and interviewed the most famous professor in the history of Columbia and the presidential historian of Columbia, both of whom said they doubt Obama's story at Columbia because you couldn't graduate without going to their class, and they never had him in their class and never saw him in the class. So, I mean, it's a very strange narrative, and I know I got under his skin when I'm the one guy willing to be courageous enough to say these things, and yet the IRS came after me. I'm supposed to believe that's a coincidence. This guy is a thug and a hood and a communist and out to destroy this country and out to silence free speech and out to stop people from telling the truth about him.
Well, you
and
know,
that's the way it is.
It also makes me think, too. I know that you do odds making in Las Vegas, and there for a while you were talking about, you know, you're betting that he was a foreign, you know, registered as a foreign exchange student to get a ride on there. And I just was looking at this article that came out, I guess it was yesterday, about his eligibility. It's still not dead. Evidently, somebody has registered a patent at the patent office and under a 90-day $90 worth of under the American Events Act, purportedly enacted into law in 11 by the president. He's suing on the grounds that it was invalid and signed into law by Barack Obama, who was not a natural born citizen and is eligible to hold office. So this thing's still going to court. I mean, what's your take now?
Well, there's just so many questions about this guy's background. It's just funny. There's a really ultra liberal reporter or columnist in Las Vegas, and he just, you know, he's a wacko. And he wrote an article and said, Wayne Root's a birther. Well, by the way, in my whole life, I've never mentioned anything about Obama's birth because I don't know anything about it. I have no idea if he was born in Kenya, America, Honolulu, Detroit, Seattle. I have no idea. So I've never said a word about his birth. What I did say is it was impossible for a mediocre student, a slacker and pot smoker, which is what everyone agrees he was, at a very average college, Occidental, to get into Columbia, to transfer into Columbia. Impossible. It couldn't happen. And yet Obama did it. So maybe, just maybe, he jumped to the front of the line by portraying himself as a foreign student. And I never mentioned Kenya or where he was born. I just said very clearly, we all know, Obama very clearly admits he was raised in Indonesia. And he probably had Indonesian citizenship because it's a fact. My buddy's a conservative investigative journalist, and he did the investigation. And it's not possible to go to public schools in Indonesia unless you give up your American citizenship and become a citizen of Indonesia. So there's no question that Obama, whether he meant it or not, he was just a little kid, had nothing to do with him, but his parents gave up his American citizenship, made him an Indonesian citizen. He probably had that passport and those citizenship papers. He probably presented them to Columbia, and they let him in as an Indonesian student. See, I've never gotten involved in the birth issue.
Right.
My guess is a damn good guess. I've had liberal lawyers who are classmates of mine at Columbia who hate my politics call me up and say, Wayne, you're a genius because we hate everything you're saying, but you probably nailed Obama. You know, there's no question that's how he got into Columbia.
Yeah.
He couldn't have gotten in any other way. So I've never gone near, you know, where he was born or whether it was Kenya or America. I just assume he was born in Honolulu. I believe he committed fraud and called himself a foreign student to get into Columbia. And then, you know, as many criminals often do, he spent the rest of his life trying to cover up that story because that story would prevent him from being president. So he had to bury it, and that's why he released his birth certificate, but he's never released his college records, ever, to this day. That's the hidden story that would bring down his presidency, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, let's get back on the book, too, because I was thumbing through the stuff on your book here. We got a synopsis, and I'll tell you what, you got some great stuff in your book. I really encourage everybody to pick this thing up and read it, The Murder of the Middle Class by Wayne Allyn Root. But I was looking at the statistics here. And, you know, the middle class decline and growing income gap and inflation's bitter toll. I mean, is there anything in here that you want to speak to specifically while you've got the airtime here? What matters the most in your book or what you want to get out there?
Yeah, I think with the remaining minutes we've got, what I want to get out is the solutions because, you know, so many people criticize, and anybody listening to you right now is probably, anyone listening to us right now is probably nodding their head. They're a conservative. They like what I'm saying. They don't like Obama either. They think he's ruining the country. They know what's happened to them. They don't need someone to tell them. They know their income's down. They know their assets are down. They know that, you know, all their expenses are up. They know that the middle class is getting murdered. But what's the solution? Well, I wrote 200 pages of solutions. That's something no one else can say. There's no other author in America that has a lot of good solutions to get us out of this mess. So let's my solutions were for the country, for the Republican Party, and also for the individual, the average middle-class American. So let's talk about a few of those solutions.
Yeah.
You know, for the individual and for the country, by the way, I think the solution is gold. I think we need a gold standard to save America. Number one, the Federal Reserve is the one that got us in this mess just as much as any politician because they print the money that allows the politicians to spend irresponsibly like a drunken sailor. Without the Fed printing fake money, you couldn't spend more than you take in. And so we need a gold standard to back the dollar or there's going to be a debt crisis and there's going to be a dollar collapse. And that's the way you save the American economy is by reconfiguring it so that the dollar is backed by gold and you get rid of the Fed. That's number one. For the individual needs a personal gold standard. I'll tell you a stat that's going to blow both of your minds, okay? And everybody listening is going to go, what? Fact. It's all backed up in my book with facts, notarized, etc. If you had $1 million in the year 1913, that was your, you know, savings, and you held it to today, do you know what it's worth today?
Well, about
$20,000.
Okay.
Because the dollar's gone down by 98%
right.
Since 1913. And that, by the way, the reason that 1913 is significant, that's the day the Fed was founded. And so since the day the Fed was founded with one goal in mind, one responsibility, protecting the value of the dollar's down by 98%. So $1 million is worth $20,000. If you had the same million and you put it in gold in the year 1913, today it's worth over $62 million. So you tell me, if you're not good at math, you're math challenged, you flunked out of math your whole life, can you understand the difference between 20,000 and 62 million? I think everyone can understand that difference. It's pretty significant. It's the difference between your kids being filthy rich and having a yacht on the Riviera, or your kids being completely bankrupt, which most middle-class kids are, because their parents die with nothing. There's your difference, whether you own gold or the dollar. So if you want to save yourself from what's coming, which will be much worse than what's happened since 1913, there's going to be a complete collapse of the American dollar. We're not going to be the world's reserve currency anymore. Russia, China, India, they're all gotten together to make sure of that. We're going to be in big trouble, and you could go broke and lose everything you've got, or you could make millions by owning gold. So both the people and the country, we both need a personal gold standard and a countrywide gold standard. That's an easy fix that could save this country and an easy fix that could save your life. Whatever you own in stocks or real estate, make sure you sell a little bit of it and buy a little bit of gold. I'm not going to recommend anything more than that. You know, it's not my responsibility. But certainly you got to own a little bit of gold as an insurance policy. I call it wealth insurance. And so if every stock you own goes to zero, theoretically, you could still make a profit if your gold goes up high enough while the disaster is happening. That's why it's like insurance. You wouldn't leave the house without health insurance. You wouldn't live without life insurance if you have a wife and kids. Why would you live without financial wealth insurance? That's what gold is.
Well, I'd like to add.
That's my advice right there.
I'd like to add a little bit to that. I'm a big proponent of silver as well, because
yes.
I think silver is even more undervalued than gold right now because of other issues. So
it is, but most people around the world know gold and they don't know silver. So I still think your portfolio should have both gold and silver. I agree with you, but I'd say 70% gold, 30% silver, because most people just haven't caught on, and they never have, and they probably never will. Gold is that shiny thing everyone knows. The masses understand gold, and a few smart people understand silver. So I don't think it's ever going to go up as much as gold will go up in the long run, but I think we do know, you need to own both. I agree with you.
We can agree to disagree on that one. I think silver is going to do tremendous just because of the industrial side and other things. But
right, but see, what I worry about, if there is no industry, there's no industrial side. If the economy goes to a total collapse, which is why you've got insurance in the first place. It's only for a disaster, right? It's for a worst-case scenario why you really keep insurance. You know, I don't keep insurance to go to the doctor with a sniffle. I keep it if I get cancer and there's a $2 million bill. So my point is, the economy could continue to decline, or there could be a complete collapse. If there's a complete collapse, then silver wouldn't have a lot of industrial applications because the industry will be out of business. So I still think gold is the shinier of the two, but you know, it's not a big deal if we disagree.
Right.
Buy
I
all
agree.
The silver you want, buy all the gold you
just
want.
Have
both good ideas.
Just have something. The other reason I also recommend the silver is because a lot of people are really hurting right now. They don't have a lot of
cheaper.
Money. Yeah, it's
right.
cheaper.
Much cheaper.
It's much cheaper. So
I'm just pointing out it's historically out of whack. That's why you like it, and that's why it is a great buy.
Yep.
Silver should be much higher compared to gold. It's historically out of whack in the ratio between gold and silver. I understand why you like it. I think it's historically out of whack because most people are ignorant and they don't even understand what silver is, but they all get gold.
Well,
so I still think gold's the popular one to buy. That's
Something, we're on the same page, Wayne. We really are.
Yes.
Listen, we got to go to a break and come back with some more solutions here.
Yes.
And my other solution would be get rid of the IRS and abolish the Fed as well. But we better go to a break and we'll come back. And we're talking with Wayne Allen Root here, and it's been a great conversation.
Yes, and this is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Now you like me now. Now that I'm on my way, you still think I'm crazy. Standing here today, I couldn't make you love me, but I always dreamed about living in your radio. How do you like me now?
Hi, Linda Bott here. Join me every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 1460 AM for On the Spot with Linda Bott. Find out what's hot and what's not. We talk about fun, film, fashion, food. Brought to you by Dandelion, Crackmaster, Mount Shasta Mall. On the Spot, Thursday, 6 p.m. right here, KCNR 1460 AM.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Red and Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli, featuring no-nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family-owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition Experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
A man that likes his country down deep in his soul. She can bring him such misery if she's got. Eyes can never see. Yes, when a man dislikes his country, I know exactly how he feels. Trained by Taliban.
Boy. We're back with Wayne Allyn Root. I wanted to add a couple of things. That's why the Constitution said that the only legal money was gold and silver for a reason. You couldn't counterfeit them. You couldn't print them and get rid of the IRS. Let's see what else. So I wanted to ask you a question about the getting government benefits under control as well, Wayne. What do you think about that, all the entitlements and government benefits?
Because that's one thing that we, not only at the federal level, but at the local level here in Reading, that we're dealing with on a big-time basis, daily basis, actually.
Have you got anything to add, Wayne?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, sure. My new book, The Murder of the Middle Class, deals with three things that I think tie together: taxes, spending, and debt. And let's start with your example, spending, you know, especially government entitlements, because every liberal, the liberals don't understand math. They're math challenged, and they think that the way you solve a debt crisis is by spending more and adding more debt. Craziest theory I've ever heard. You know, it just doesn't make sense that if you had a sewage leak in a pipe in your home, you'd call up the plumber and say, "Do me a favor, would you raise the ceiling?" It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But when you have a spending leak because you've got a debt crisis, they say, let's spend more. That'll solve the debt crisis, raise the ceiling, and allow us to spend more. That's incredibly stupid, and it doesn't work because, of course, you'd be sleeping in sewage, and then they'd have to raise the ceiling more every 2 weeks. So pretty soon you'd have a $100,000 house, but you'd have like $12 million worth of ceiling raises. Pretty stupid, if you ask me.
But
when it comes to how you do entitlements, well, there's a couple of ways to do it without really cutting people off that I think eventually would solve your problem. First of all, when it comes to entitlements, here's the biggest conflict of interest in America. I don't hear anyone else saying this but me. And that is, if I own an American Express card, would American Express allow me to serve on the board of directors that decides how much people pay back, what interest they pay? Of course not. That would be a conflict of interest. How could I decide that my interest rate return is zero on what I spend on American Express card? Wouldn't that be wrong of me? Well, how do you let people on welfare vote? Because they've got a conflict of interest. They're voting for the politician that promises to give them the most welfare and make the checks bigger and make the checks keep coming forever. So that's how an Obama gets reelected and elected in the first place. You allow people who are collecting government checks to vote for the guy who promises them more government checks. That's a terrible conflict of interest. So I'm not one of these rich elitists that want you to vote because you're rich or only want you to vote because you own property. None of that. I allow anyone in the whole world to vote as long as you're paying into the system. But if you're collecting money from the system in the way of a welfare check and putting nothing back in because you don't have a job, you've lost your right to vote. The minute you get a job and you get off welfare, you're back to voting again. So I'm not helping anyone. I'm not forcing anyone to starve to death. I'm not stopping anyone from getting welfare. See how reasonable of a conservative I am? If you want welfare, you can all have it. But you're never going to vote as long as you stay on it. And pretty soon, there will be massive new restrictions on welfare because the people who pay the bill will be the ones voting. They're the responsible ones. That's how you stop welfare without being accused of throwing old people in the street. I'm not throwing anyone in the street. You want your welfare, you can have it. I think you should be you should be drug tested. I think that you should be limited what you can use your EBT card for. You can't use it at strip clubs. You can't use it at liquor stores. You know, you can't buy cigarettes with it or drugs with it. But I think that you should get your welfare, but you shouldn't be allowed to vote. That's how you will limit welfare in this country eventually.
Well, it used to be, I believe, that the Founding Fathers originally said that only property owners should vote. And I'm inclined to agree with that because they're the only ones that have anything at stake. Because
I get it, but I'm doing it in a much nicer, gentler, kinder way that doesn't outrage liberals. Of course, they will be outraged. You know, let's face it, they'll be outraged by anything you say that stops a person from voting who tends to vote 100% Democrat. But the reality is that if you say that comment you just made, that if you're going to stop someone from voting if they don't own property, the howls of prejudice and racism and elitism will never stop. So I'm avoiding that. You can have your welfare. You don't have to own property. I don't care if you're worth not 1 cent. You all get to vote, but not if you're collecting a check from government that you didn't pay into. Social Security is different. Medicare is different. People paid into it in the middle class. They deserve to get their Medicare and their Social Security. Totally different than food stamps, welfare, or many hundreds of other government programs. As long as you collect them, you can't vote. It's a conflict of interest. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with you. I totally do. You know, I mean, that's what this influx of immigration is all about, is overwhelming the system, you know, and giving them more and more things as they get into, you know, whether it's schooling or welfare or, you know, disability or whatever it happens
to be. And once again, I've got the answer for that. I've got a three-pronged attack in my book that answers immigration that, again, will make liberals howl because they can't fight it. They see, I'm not a guy who says, ooh, I don't want immigrants. I say I'll let all the immigrants in who want to come, but A, if you first came here illegally, you've given up the right to ever vote. See, Democrats, if they really cared about illegals, they'd jump at my offer. They'd go, that's great. Let's get on board Wade Root's bandwagon. Let's legalize all the immigrants in America now, but they can never vote. Because as far as I know, the American dream is to come here and make money and raise your family here. It's not to come here and vote. I've never heard a single person say, in Guatemala, I dreamed every day of voting in America. So you came here illegally. You've won the lottery. I'm going to let you stay. I'm not going to deport you. But you're never going to be allowed to vote because you came here and you broke the law. Totally fair. You could sleep at night. You'll never be deported. And I'm giving you a permit to go get a job. How is that not the American dream? How am I not being nice to you?
I totally like
it. But I'm not going to let you vote.
Yeah, I totally like it. I think that's the way to do it because, you know, it would be an instant wake-up call because the real deal is the Democrats, they don't care about these people. What they care about is having low-information voters who are voting entitlements. There's no question.
And then, of course, I combine that with something. Being that I'm doing you a favor, I'm not doing something here for conservatives. I'm doing immigrants a favor,
sure.
Illegal immigrants a favor. I expect the borders to be sealed forever. That's it. You got in. That's my compromise. You 13 million or whatever the number they claim is 13 million. It might be 18 million. They only claim 13 million government. But whatever it is, if you're here, you won the lottery of life, the greatest lottery in human history. You got to stay in America. But A, you're never voting. B, you're never collecting entitlements. And that's a big one. And C, we're going to seal the border so millions more can't play the same illegal game. That's an easy compromise. When Democrats say we ought to compromise, there's my compromise. And if you don't want it, then you're proving you couldn't care less about immigrants. If you love them, then you'd be thrilled for them that they get to stay, they get a work permit, they get a job, they get to pay taxes. You should be thrilled. But Democrats aren't thrilled because if they can't vote and they can't become dependent by collecting welfare checks and you seal the border so no more can come, that's the worst nightmare for Democrats. They don't care about any of you if you're listening right now and you're an immigrant. They only care that you become dependent and helpless and hopeless and therefore vote for them.
Yep, I totally agree. I think we're on the same page.
We're running out of time, unfortunately. We want to thank you, Mr. Root, for coming on. It's been great. And in the last minutes, is there a way people can get a hold of you or a website to go to? And again, what is the name of your book and all of that?
Yeah, the name of the book is The Murder of the Middle Class. It's the fifth best-selling political hardcover book in the United States of America. You can get it at Amazon.com, of course, or any fine bookstore. It's at Barnes & Noble. It's at Costco. It's at Sam's Club. And my website is RootForAmerica.com. That's R-O-O-T ForAmerica.com.
Very good.
All right.
Thanks,
well, thank
Wayne.
You so much for coming on, and have a great day.
Government.
Thanks for having me on.
Very good. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
All right, and don't forget, come to the Reading Tea Party, 6 p.m.
KCNR, Shasta Reading.
House in Washington. The U.S. has carried out more airstrikes in Iraq today. This time, land-based bombers were used. U.S. Central Command says a combination of bombers, fighter jets, attack planes, and unmanned drones hit targets near Iraq's largest water barrier. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Rogers says the Islamic State fighters targeted by U.S. airstrikes are formidable.
ISIL now is a terrorist organization with an army. That's what makes them so dangerous. Tanks, helicopters, heavy artillery, money, all of those equate to a pretty dangerous situation.
Rogers appeared on CBS's Face the Nation. Also on SRNews.com, Liberian officials fear Ebola could spread through the capital's largest slum after residents looted a quarantine center for suspected patients and hauled away bloodstained sheets and mattresses. Syrian activists say government warplanes have conducted more than a dozen airstrikes against Islamic State group targets, killing at least 11 people. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights is...